Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Two Norris podcast. I'm your host, James, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Timmy Long.
Hi, everyone.
Sean is on the decks. How are you, Sean?
What's the story, lads? How you getting
on? Welcome. Sean, Smudge is in the audience. How are you, Smudge?
One smudgy.
Yeah, and our guest today is Trigor. Trigor is a rapper from Gran, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
So before we get into the rap and all that type of stuff, just we go way back for the people that don't know you. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, obviously, like growing up, you know, family, stuff like that.
Yeah. So my mum is from Gran Abrar, yeah. She grew up in Mount Neagh Road in Cathedral Road.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad's from West Cork. So I spent a bit of both time, you know, in both places. Two different, completely different contrasts. And yeah, like, if you've seen my mum and dad, you'd be saying, how the hell did they ever end up with each other? No, completely different. Mm. But so my mum always stayed very close to my nan and her side of family. So I grew up, I'd say, 50% of my time. My nan's house in Barrett's Buildings.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went from there then to the GAP project about when I was about 17, 18.
Where's that?
In Gran Abrar as well. It's just up from Barrett's Buildings.
The hut.
The hut, yeah, the hut, yeah. Gran Abrar Arts Project. Yeah. And that's how I kind of started. Because I was always doing stuff at home and stuff, you know, and I didn't really realize that there was other Cork rappers doing it and stuff. And then when I was in school, then one of my buddies said, there's a rapper called Gary McCarthy and he's releasing an album. And I goes, are you serious? A Cork for the rapping, you know, because I used to be only just writing stuff. I never really, you know, went to the studio or anything like that. Like, so
That's GMC, you know, was here last night.
GMC, yeah. So he's one of the founding fathers of Cork hip hop.
And a very nice fella.
Very nice, yeah. And he's always very good too, you know, helping out the youth. That's how we started off as well, because as you say, you could go from a rapper to an artist. He'd kind of mold you into it, you know, school you into it and stuff like that. Like. Mm.
Yeah, and he's a patient man, isn't he, James?
You run to all them, you know, mad naughty kids up there.
He's a patient man.
What school did you go to?
So I went to school in West Cork, in MECC, yeah, down there. But I always hated West Cork. I don't know, there was something about it.
Yeah.
Even my mum's side of the family, I always gelled more with them, you know, so I spent a lot of my time just in Gran Abrar and when I was growing up and missed a lot of school. My mum used to be pulling out of primary school and stuff like that, like, to bring me up to my nan's house and stuff like that, like, you know, so. And even in West Cork, then I used to have the Cork slang and stuff. So when I was younger then, I used to be getting slagged and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way I always kind of, I elevated back to North Side again.
Do you know when people from Ireland go to Australia, Canada and the USA, and there's a lot of people in those places at the moment that listen to the podcast, so hi to them, but when you go abroad or away from home, you have more of a grasp for home culture.
Of course, yeah.
So like, for example, now if you're over in Australia, you might listen to the Booth Tones a little bit more, or you might want to display your Irishness a little bit more.
You might be trying to get Fair City and Hearty player.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Exactly. But you know, because you had the kind of piece down in West Cork, did that give you more of a graph of wanting to be around the North Side?
I suppose it did in a way, yeah. And I suppose a lot of the stuff, like when I was younger, I used to just be obsessed with, like, you know, watching the telly, you know, and listening to music and stuff like that. And then I was growing up listening to, like, obviously, you know, you start out in Biggie and Tupac, and you start, like, when I was about 12 or 13, you know, learning off the lyrics. And then you would hear the beat and you try to write your own lyrics. And then you adapt in into other artists, you know, as you evolve, like.
What age when you first started writing?
When I started writing, I'd say I was about 14, 15 or something like that. I didn't tell no one, but I had copybooks and all this kind of stuff, you know. Even when I was in second class and stuff, nobody at the back of the room. I was always a messer in school then as well. I was quiet at first, and then as I kind of grew a bit older, then I became the messer, like, you know. And
school, did you enjoy school?
Not really. Not
any
really. Secondary school, nah, I never really liked sport. No, music is always my thing. Growing up, always my thing was music, you know. Never had any interest in sports. And especially when you're in West Cork, there's a big culture of, you know, Ga now and hurling and all that, like, and I never had any interest in it. So that's another reason why I felt like, you know, I didn't really fit in there.
Mm. Makes sense, yeah.
And you know, when you're a young person like that and you're into rap music, which is obviously very common, but it's not very common then to write in your own raps and stuff like that. You didn't have no, like, there was nobody else doing that.
No.
What was that like? Like, did you feel isolated or were you just driven to do it?
Well, at the start, but I was kind of just like, I was so consumed, you could say, by just the whole love of hip hop, I didn't care. You know, but I wouldn't really be a type of person that I'd stand in front of the class and start rapping and stuff like that. But it was only kind of when I suppose I seen the likes of Gary McCarthy, you know, when that was doing it, I was kind of like, you know, they made a name for themselves, even locally in Cork. And like, I remember turning to my buddy at one point and I was like, fuck it, I'll give it a shot. You know, I'll put my all into it. And if it develops, it develops. And if it doesn't, you know, at least I tried my best in it. Mm. But yeah, especially like even there's a lot of Cork artists now that people wouldn't even know that were rapping that much before, because it was kind of just when YouTube was coming out. But there'd be a lot of like live events on in Cork. So there'd be the likes of Boney, the Dutch Gold Kid, Samir, Nash. And they don't really have like Bukal Don. I know it was my producer. It was one of my producers, and Be Wonder, and they have nothing online. But like, if you're involved in the Irish hip hop scene and you say the name Bukal Donna or Be Wonder or something like that, you know, everyone knows you're talking about, because they were like GMC's age group, and they were the ones that were going to the gigs, they were busking on the streets, they were talking from a perspective that we could understand, you know. And that's another thing, like, if you're growing up in the school and they're like, oh, you're a rapper, you're a sausage or whatever that, like, but it's like, I don't say that. What I say is that we do it in our own accent. We, you know, we talk about our own environment. Fair enough, some of the stuff might be the same as what is like Americanized and stuff like that, but it's all going on. And you know, it's, you're talking about from your locality, your neighborhood, you know.
So you're not a Cork fella trying to be a rapper, you're a Cork rapper.
Exactly,
and
that's
important. And you know, because I can imagine, like, if you're doing something that's goes against the norm, like, you don't know anybody else doing it, you can become a target for haters, you know.
Definitely,
like,
yeah.
Who do the fiend think he is, you know? Yeah. It takes a bit of backbone to persevere with that.
It does, yeah, to be fair. Like, even when I started kind of, you know, getting a lot of views and stuff like that, as you said earlier there, you know, with the more publicity, the more hate you're going to get. So then you'll be getting comments on YouTube videos, you know, who the fuck does this fella think he is, you know, go and kill yourself, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you have to just rise above it and just say to yourself, I don't care, you know, I like this, I'm doing this for me, I'm not doing this for you.
Exactly.
You know, I'm doing this to try and, like, the day passes where I'm not here anymore, I want something for my son to look at, and like, if he, because he's interested in music and stuff as well. You know, he's 4 now, like, so it's early days, but he's interested in, you know, what I'm doing. And you know, for younger kids, I get an awful lot of messages on social media, you know, from teenagers there about 14, 15, 16 years of age, you know, saying like that I inspire them, and like, they've been going through bad times with depression, blah de blah, and you know, that listening to my music, you know, helps them. And like, I think that's the best compliment that I could get from it, you know, is just helping someone. And so I tell my own story?
Because you're first thing I want to touch on there, what you said, and we spoke about this off camera, but you know, the two most highest profile guests we've had on was Micheál Martin and Ryan Tuberty. And they were the two guests that got the most shit, hateful comments. And it's right what you're saying, the bigger you get, the more shit you're going to get. And you just have to kind of take it on the chin, and it comes past parcel, doesn't it?
I suppose it's like the budget. It's not going to be for everybody.
We'll have Michael McGrath as well, like, soon.
Exactly.
Wait till Michael McGrath on the podcast next month. No, he's the Minister for Public Expenditure. He's from Carrigaline, like, but he's going to get roasted.
Everybody's going to have their own judgment on you.
Yeah.
You know, some people are going to love it. Some people are not going to love it. But I suppose, at the end of the day, it's just the only thing that matters is how you view it and how you handle whatever publicity you're getting.
Yeah.
If you can handle it and roll with it, and you know deep inside yourself that you're doing something that you love doing, and what they're saying means nothing to you, drive on.
Exactly, yeah.
Drive on, you know. And even myself and James,
we've got a little bit ourselves, like, haven't we?
But we know what we're doing here is helping so many people. You know, like yourself, you're inspiring young people, and this is helping many amount of people,
and it's something that we enjoy doing.
Exactly, same here,
and that's all that matters, you know? We're enjoying doing it, we're not doing all harm to nobody. And if you want to talk shit, then that's your own business.
And I've seen, even in your first podcast you done, you said that even if no one listens, we're doing this for ourselves. And that's exactly where I came from as well, you know. I started doing it for me, because I love hip hop, I love rap music, like, you know.
I love to sing as well, but I'm not very good. Yeah. I feel great when I'm singing. Sure. But Jesus Christ, everybody around me tells me to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Particularly the two kids. The two kids run out of the room. But I feel great when I have the guitar in my hand and I sing in an old black, or black is the colour of Christy Moore, and I rattle it on. I feel great. I can't see Dan Christie up on top of the fucking stage in Vicar Street.
The dogs holding up the back of Trustfield Green.
Up the back road.
But it's great. It's great when you're doing something you love, and particularly singing music like that.
And especially then, my favourite thing out of it, not saying I'm doing it for the hype and all this, but if you're walking down the street, like, and people come up to you, and you know, you're getting appreciation for your art, like, you know, and like, even I noticed as well, like, you know, it can be from anyone from all different backgrounds. Like, I got told before, there's a lot of people listening to my music up in Cork Prison. I was on the street one day, and this was a few years ago, and I was wearing a tracksuit, and a guard, the car drove past, and they were, you know, giving you the looks, whatever like that. Next thing, this fella in a suit and a briefcase walked up to me. He would have been about 30 or something like that, and he was like, "You're Trigger, aren't you?" I goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I always listen to your music, keep doing what you're doing." You know, and even the guards were sitting there, and I was just like, "I don't care." Do you know what I mean? Isn't it?
It's a nice little, it is, validation for, like, putting in all this graft, because I love it, but it's actually having real life impact on real life people.
That's it,
But I think we have to give a good shout out down out to the Hut and the Definitely, Arts Project, because there was nothing like that. That was the only thing like that in Cork.
No, I didn't even know that existed, like, until. I think I went to a gig because one of my buddies was going or something like that, and I ended up, it was my first time ever on stage, and I ended up rap battling. I won the first round, the other guy won the second round, and I think it was a tie at the end. But then the coordinator of the Hut above there, she just said, "Oh, look, if you're interested in coming up, I see you have, you know, a bit of talent or whatever like that." Like, and she was like, "Gary McCarthy is running this arts project, GAP we used to call it," and went up on the following Tuesday and just kept going back for about 2 years, I'd say. And I've great friends to this day that I still, you know, keep in contact with and hang around with just because of that. I used to look at it was like school, but it was like school without the, you know, the annoyingness out of it. It was like, we used to be all just, it was like a little classroom, and we'd all be chatting away like that. And next thing then, either Bowen or GMC and be like, "Right, it's time to get to work now, put on a beat." You know, to do a bit of writing the following week, you come back, might do a bit of recording. So, like, you know,
sounds like fun as well.
It was definitely fun. Yeah, it was. I would say it was probably more important to school to me more than anything else, you know, because I wasn't in school that much, like in primary, I wasn't secondary, and I was always very good at English. So, when you're doing your primary and you have like 22 spellings a week, I used to always get 22 or 22, it was pure proud of that. Like, so it was, English was always, you know, the vocab and stuff like that, even when it comes into writing, then afterwards, you know, but GAP then was. You know, definitely one of the things that structured me more from, like, a rapper that raps in the bedroom into an artist going into a studio and recording, you know.
Have you wrote many raps?
A lot of raps. But, like, when you actually structure them into songs, then, like, that's another thing that I learned from going to that. It's, like, when you start off rapping, you can just have, like, 20 A4 pages. But then you have to structure into, like, 16 bars and then an 8-bar chorus.
What's a bar?
So a bar is basically, like, a line, you could call it, you know. It's best way. So it's like, I remember when GMC started teaching us first, he was like, he'd put 16 dots down the side of the margin, and then he'd be like, "Right, try and get down as far as there, and then I'll come back to you and see who you're getting on." And, you know, he'd go around into each person. This is now when I was fairly young, like, you know. So he was kind of just introducing me to it, because as I say I was only just, you know, penning lyrics, like, and, you know,
just whatever's coming to your head.
Whatever comes to my head,
I watched one of your videos recently there, over in America.
Yeah, which one was that? Because I'm over there a good bit now with the minutes.
Well, you were inside in a shop and you were driving around in a car and stuff like that.
Was that the Outlaws
one? Latest one.
Was it latest
one? Oh, that was the New York one,
It's a sick video, actually.
Yeah, nice one.
It looks fucking fairly real, right?
It looks high budget as well.
Yeah. It's a guy that I know, actually. I must give him a shout out. One Snap Productions. So he started up his own. Same as me now, started up doing this camera company. The camera, just shooting, you know, stuff around as a hobby. Now he's self-employed, has his own business. He does, shoots all commercial adverts for, like, Douglasville Shopping Centre and, like, you know, pharmacies and all this kind of stuff. But so me and him are a good team together, because he has the talent of the videos and I have the talent of the songs. So, like, we actually just booked, we're going to LA now next month to work with another few artists. When we were there shooting that video now, it was in March. That song is called Where It All Began. It's just
give us a rattle of it.
That wouldn't go really a cappella. I might do something else for you there in a minute.
Yeah. Okay.
But that one is kind of, It's the history of hip hop, and it's paying homage to where it started off.
It was the history. East
Coast. If you know anything about hip hop, like hip hop started off in New York, and it originally began like in a house party. So like the DJ was the main person, and then it developed into an MC introducing the crowd, and then as time went on, then the MC took over. You know, more important, the DJ. Then the graffiti came into it. You know, and the breakdancing, so there was like all different elements.
Cool G, one of the original MCs. He would be.
But like, Sedgwick Avenue is the place where it all began in an apartment block. So that was the original, and that was in New York City. So they obviously, the birthplace of hip hop is New York, even though it developed to the West Coast and then to Australia and Ireland and England. So the way I see it, it doesn't matter where you're coming from, it's where you're at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's great in the video. The video is a very good video, it's a very professional. Yeah. It looks MTV style, but. You're around New York and you're representing all these people and you're paying homage, but it's done in the Cork accent and your own, you know, style as well. Yeah. You know, the style that we grew up in with the hoodies and stuff like that. So staying true to who you are.
Boys seemed a bit wild as well in the video. They seemed a bit wild. Yeah.
So, like, the hotel we were staying in, there was a corner shop and we used to just go in there, you know, to buy stuff and what like that, you know, like every night. So then at the end of the trip, my camera guy was just like, do you mind if we do a bit of shooting here? And we were after kind of building a relationship with the lads, you know, just from going in there and they'd be hanging around the place. So it was natural. It wasn't like we were saying, do you want to jump into the video there? It was just like, he done a bit of filming and then I done a few takes of the rapping and stuff, you know. So it turned out good. And
do you know, back in the, if we can go back to the younger days again, something that you spoke about, you know, the kids kind of like, to have an outlet for a teenager, do you know, a creative outlet, instead of like having a bottle of cider, they were able to go to the youth centre and be creative and, you know, express themselves and learn vocabulary. Yeah. And, you know, it's a great like self-help and personal development tool for young people as well.
Yeah,
did you find it kept you away from negativity on the street?
It would have done, obviously, yeah, because sure, you know, like at the time I was, you know, what do you have to do really? Only hang around the place, you know, and then there was this fella saying, here, I'm going up here to do this, do you want to come with me? And be like, no, I'm going to GAP there in a minute, you know, to do a bit of writing. Like, he'd be like, go away, you fool, what are you going to do with that? Like, and next thing I've gone, I'm a fool then these years later. Like,
I wonder what happened to him, do you know what I mean? But that's what happened to the place, it swallows people up, like.
But all my songs are based on true events. So, like, it's weird the way things develop. So, like, I have this one song, I was only thinking about it earlier, right? It's called Concrete Jungle. And the storyboard on it is this fella, and he basically robs a shop, and then all this other stuff happens, right? But the fella that was meant to portray the actor that was supposed to rob the shop, he didn't turn up the day we were supposed to do it, so I had to fill in. And then I found out afterwards, I was like, someone said it, I was like, Jerry, what happened to him? He was like, no. He was like, he robbed a spar there, and he's after getting locked up. You know, so it's weird the way kids make fate, like, and all that, but like, that's what I'm saying. All these stories come from, you know, what we hear and stuff. It's not like it's drama, it's entertainment, all right, but every story has an underlying theme where it comes from a place. You know, I don't write for the sake of I want someone to, you know, say like, oh, that's cool, or whatever. It's like, I'm talking about experiences that either happen to me, someone I hang around with, or someone, you know, down the road that you would hear, do you know what happened to him there? Do you hear the gunshots last night? You know, it mightn't happen a lot, but it still kind of puts that thing into your head where you're kind of like, do you know what I mean?
I think what we do is similar. I think we talk about social issues that affect us and our area and our friends and family, and the stories we've heard, and we use the medium of a podcast to get the message across. But you rap to get your message across, but you're rapping about the same stuff we talk about.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, the social issues, and I think that's important, you know, because...
But it pisses me off then sometimes. You get these people that are, say, for example, from well-to-do areas or stuff like that, like, and they'd be commenting and they'd be like...
Well-to-do areas like Angela Gardens.
But, like, you know, from, I don't know, I'm not even going to name a place now, but they'd be like, Cork's not Lake Hampton. And then they'd be like, all right, that's your environment, like, but this is what I'm hearing over here, you know, I'm not making shit up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I heard this happening last night, or I heard this fella's after fucking, you know, getting locked up or overdosing, or, you know, people do things just to try and, you know, develop their life. They don't turn up one day and they'd be like, oh, I want to be an addict, you know. It develops over time into, you know, certain situations.
Yeah.
Like, I've one of my most popular songs is called No Roads Lead to Home.
Is that where you're up in Pathos from up in St. Anne's?
No, that's Devil's Playground.
Oh, is that, Jack?
But No Roads Lead to Home is... It's based on a true story of a fella I knew when he was growing up. His mom passed away of cancer, and his dad was never there for him. So when she passed away of cancer, he was only about 15 or 16, and he basically got stuck on the streets, like, and ended up taking heroin and, you know, begging and all this kind of stuff. And like at the end of the video, then I had to put a kind of an ending to it. So the ending that I put it was that he was after sadly taking his life, but in reality he's still on the streets begging, like. But like you have to have a kind of a moral to the stories, you know, to say, like, I'm not anyone to say, like, oh, you shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. But like if someone is grown up and if they're kind of, like, you know, influenced by anything, I want to say this is not the road to go down. You know, I've heard of these stories that happened to this person. I know it might look glamorous in this kind of regard, but it's not, you know what I mean?
That's, again, mirrors kind of what we're doing as well. Like, yeah. Just showing the realities. But can I ask you, like, is rapping your job? Or do you have a job outside of that? And I know sometimes when you say to an artist, do you have a job, it can be insulting. Because, you know what I mean? But yeah. I know, like, when you're an artist, it can be tough financially.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that, or how do you manage that?
Well, I suppose, as I say, like, music these days is kind of a thing. I think back in the day, like, you know, when I was a teenager, I used to save up money, and every Saturday go into H&V and, you know, Virgin Megastore and these kind of places when they were, like, you know, banging, like, and if you get the new Tupac CD, or then, like, when you're a bit too young, you'd have to get your mum to get it because parental advisory is on it. And then my mum would turn around and she'd be like, I shouldn't be buying that food at all with that. And the songs on the back of it, one, the way they call you a bitch and all this stuff, you know. But, yeah, so it's always kind of, it's like being self-employed in a way, you know, as in, like, you're just continuously going along, and then you always have to kind of have another outlet to kind of fund it. Yeah. But, like, there's, like, Spotify and all these kind of things are good for publicity, but they don't really pay you as well as, you know, back in the day when artists were getting good money from going platinum CDs and stuff. Now, if you are a hardcore fan of someone, you would always buy their music anyway, not only to support them, but just I rather having, like, the physical thing, you know, in front of me, like the physical album, like, you know, looking through the booklet and saying, who made this instrument and Lumen, who made this beat and who's the mixing and master. You know, if you really are into your music, like, I think you'll go that far. Like,
because with Spotify, you never actually own the content. No, you have access to it.
Yeah.
But that's why there's been a rise in vinyl and records and stuff.
It's, you know, coming back now again, like.
People want to, like, Golden Discs is still open. Like, you go in and buy the actual record, but people want to have the physical thing. You can have it on Spotify, but there's that piece, and then it's not the same sound as well, sure. It's not
really, you know, like, like, even on Spotify there now, I released my album on it, and I was getting plays and all that, and next thing then I got an email to say that the album was after completely getting taken off of Spotify, and I was like, what was the reason behind it? And there was an Irish artist featured with apparently the same name as an American artist who was copyrighted, so they whipped the whole project off. So not just the song, but the whole project. So now I'm going to have to re-upload it all again. Like,
fuck it, that's very disappointing.
Yeah, but like, and even everyone keeps saying it, they're saying, put your music on Spotify. See, I nearly focus mainly on YouTube, and I think, like, you can release a song and it can reach a certain amount of people, but it's never going to reach the same amount of people unless there's a visual. These days, I think you need a visual. You need a music video, you know, to get people's attention.
Yeah.
And then they'll play the song from that, you know.
Yeah. That's so why, like, it was important for us to keep the video, because podcasts are...
Exactly. Like,
audio, mainly. Yeah. There's not many...
And they're so popular as well these days. You know, you could get overflooded with, you know, the market is saturated. So, so that, even if you're really, really good, you know.
But that's why the video for us is important, because we can chop the video up afterwards and put clips up on TikTok and stuff like
that. Exactly, yeah.
And then you'll drive traffic to Spotify. You know, that's kind of what we're doing at the moment. But the whole thing then is up on YouTube then for the people that actually want to sit down and watch the video.
Yeah.
You know, because I think the video is important when, you know, when you're trying to communicate, aren't you?
Definitely, yeah.
You know, but,
definitely.
How did you progress through? I know, like, you've had brilliant stuff over in America, but before we go into that, like, how did it progress for you? Like, did you, like, what age you did your first album? What was that experience like? And
so I was always, as I say now, GAP, but it was only kind of when I left the arts project in is where I kind of started development on my own, because I got to a certain age then where, you know, all the people my age were kind of leaving. It was like we were having to kind of graduate, and, you know, to the next level, a lot of people were after giving it up because they were either going into college or they were going full-time job, and it was kind of a pastime for some people, and some people stuck with it, some people didn't. So then when I left, I recorded a song called Top Gear, and I released a video for it. I think it's one of the first Cork hip-hop videos ever. So that song is based on a true story as well. It's about when I was about 18, 19, I was living in an apartment block, and there was heroin addicts over me. and there was fellas, you know, addicted to sweets and stuff under me. So it was a toxic environment, like, and
me and Timmy
missed the coke ends, actually. No.
But it was chaotic, like, because you know, it could be all hours of the night and you can't sleep, and next thing then there's people knocking at your door. Yeah, and
sometimes,
you know,
like,
I remember sometimes them walking into the hallways and, you know, you can smell gear in the hallway and all this, and you know, but all that kind of then fueled me to say, as in, like, I need to get over this shit, and I need to fucking put all my experiences and, you know, write them down and stuff. So then I released that video. I done very well. I got the soundtrack. I got put onto a soundtrack for an independent movie. And then about 4 or 5 months later, after that, there was one of my good friends, Corey O'Callaghan. If anyone's from the north side, his name would ring a bell.
Yeah.
He used to rap under the name Basic.
Do you know what his note to me?
No.
Do you know the Haynes' sisters, Linda Haynes, and what's his mum?
Linda is his mum, and Valerie is his aunt.
Not Valerie Haynes from Harvey Road, Rodney Haynes.
She lost a daughter recently.
Yeah, well, she lost a daughter in the crash in Harvey Road.
Yeah.
But her other sister.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Her son, Corey, was a rapper, but he also died a young man as well.
Yeah, he died even, it was a month before he was 21.
Go out,
But that affected me greatly, because he was one of my...
He was talented as well, wasn't he?
He was unreal, and I, as like, he's the same age as me, or he was around the same age as me, and I used to look up to him, because he used to be saying, like, he used to be giving me bits of advice, you know, because there was like, the rappers that used to just rap, and then there was, as he'd say, you know, the real fiends, like, we have to represent the real fiends for the North Side, you know. So he released only one song, and it was a pure song, you know, that everyone was obsessed with around the North Side, and they were like, I can relate to this, he's talking about real shit, he's doing it in his own accent, you know. There was no wannabe-ish about him, and he was a pure type of fella too, you know. If you're talking to him, he's charismatic, and you know, he was always the crack, but he was one of the boys, you know, and you'd always respect him, like.
Yeah.
So when he passed away, anyway, I was kind of like, fucking hell, I was like, I have to fucking make something of this, because I remember a couple of months before he passed away, we went up to a gig in Dublin, and there was all these well-known established rappers, and next thing, Corey got stuck on one of the boys, and he was like, we represent the real fiends, you know, and that and all this. And next thing, I was like, trying to introduce him to, you know, other fellas up there, and he was like, nah, he was like, I'm the past, bro, you're the future, and all this. And you know, that gave me great,
yeah,
you know, encouragement then. But when he passed away, then I released a song called Let Him Know. And there was pirate radio stations back in the day, there, Kiss of Him and all this, and they picked up the song, and it kind of blew up, like, and the video was released as well, so then everyone was going on YouTube and, you know, getting a lot of views, like. And I suppose that's kind of then when I reached a place where I was kind of like, you know, people are paying attention now, I need to move right, you know, not just release songs and shit. I knew I was on the right song, or knew I was on the right place, like, you know, when you're getting a lot of traffic and interaction with people who are actually like just saying, not to kiss your ass, saying that's a little song, but they're like, yeah, I can relate to this, and genuinely, you know, that part, and you know,
yeah, must have been tough.
They're stories, like, your songs are stories,
they're all like stories, yeah, they're all little bits of, there's 90% of the truth and everything, you know. Like, I could say from my perspective in some songs, I could say from my buddy's perspective in another song, or else for the fella that's going into the corner shop, his stories, you know, or what we grown up witnessing and stuff like that, you know. But I went from there then to, like when I started, I was always kind of, I'm only going to be known locally, you know. I never really, well, I hoped, but I never really thought, you know, we'll go any further than that.
Same as us. That's why we call it the Nowries podcast. We keep having to explain to people what a Nowry is,
yeah,
because it's become a lot bigger than the North Side. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They don't have that slang in Dublin, do they, Nowries?
No.
No.
North. They call them Northsiders.
Northsiders. And they call them Nordies up in the north of Ireland, then Nordies, but not Nordies. But yeah, but we, like, when we started out, we thought, no, we might be popular in the north side, like.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it gets bigger, like, but it's just like what happened to you.
Yeah, so, I was thinking local, like, even your neighbourhood and stuff like that, like, and next thing then, Cork, and next thing then I was, like, around that time, then I was, like, my focus was Ireland. And then when I kind of started getting known throughout Ireland, then I was having, like, one of my buddies was coming back from Belfast. He had relatives up in Belfast, and he started chatting to him, and next thing he was like, where are you from? And your man, or my buddy, goes to him, I'm from Cork, and he goes, did you ever hear of a rapper there from Cork called Trigger? And he goes, yeah, he was like, I know him. And he was like, oh, he's unbelievable, you know, and all this. So then I kind of was realising, you know, oh, it's going further than that, you know. And then I got the opportunity in Tupac's group, The Outlaws, was performing in Tivoli Theatre in Dublin, and they were getting all different support acts and stuff. So I got into your man and I was like, look, I'd like to do, you know, a slap before, like. So he gave me like a 40 minute slot or something like that, and I get to meet them backstage and whatnot.
But where were they?
They were cool, yeah. That was my first interaction with them, and it was kind of more like they were just anticipating to go on,
because
all the sport acts were finished, and they were just standing around smoking and stuff, you know, and they were ready to go on. So then I was just like, I passed your man my CD, and he put it into his jacket pocket, and I just go, did you ever work with like international artists? Because mainly you obviously them working with, you know, American artists and stuff, and he was like, hell yeah. So I was like, I left it at that, and I didn't want to be like, here, you know what I mean? And a few weeks went by, and next thing I messaged them, I think it was on Facebook or email or something like that, and they were like, oh yeah, we listened to a few of your songs and you're good or whatever like that. And I was like, listen, my album is coming up there now, and I was like, would you be into the idea of doing a collaboration? So that ended up happening, and then about 6 months later, at the time I was going to New York just on a holiday, and so I was like, do you know what? And I got into my head, I was like, if I get into them now and just try and link in with them, do you know what? I was like, would you be interested? And if we shot a video or something like that, and they were like, when you coming over, what dates, we can try and make a work over, blah, blah, blah. So that's how the first big project in came around, called Purpose.
And we have a mutual friend, Danny O'Donovan.
Danny, yeah. I was actually only chatting to him this morning.
Yeah. So was Danny there when you...
Danny was there, yeah.
Danny was there.
Danny was there.
Now, to explain people, The Outlaws was Tupac's group.
Yeah.
And in the '90s, they were the biggest thing.
They were on every, like, if you can name a Tupac song, they were on every one of them. Like, Hit 'Em Up, the diss track against Biggie, the lads that I done song went out. They were with him. All of Tupac's best songs, they were, you know, in the background and in the videos, and that was his crew.
And they're an actual group still at the moment.
They're still a group. Well, there was 5 members, and one of them got murdered shortly after Tupac, and then one of the guys that I met when I was supporting him died about a few months later in a car crash. But there's still 2 active members of the Outlaws. They're still touring internationally. They're still releasing albums and stuff like that.
That video was cool as well. What, where were they when you were working with them? Were they really professional, or were they down to earth, or were they egotistical?
No, they were sound out. I didn't really have much to say about that trip, because once again, that was my second time meeting them.
So it was kind of
a pure...
You're building the relationship.
The relationship, but it was kind of more of a business relationship. Whereas now, like, Young Noble might text me and just be like, do you know what's going on or whatever that. Like, or I text them back and forth. Or like, I made a song there a couple of years ago. It's still not released. I went over to Compton. That's another story for a big story. I went over to Compton working with Eazy-E's son. And we were over in like all the crypt neighborhoods and all this stuff. I don't know how we got a pass, like, because you're not meant to go in these areas. They were with us at all
don't
times.
Your cop jersey walking through the crypt.
I was actually thinking about that as well, yeah, but I was like, nah.
This is all blue.
Yeah, the crypts are blue, the bloods are red. But yeah, that's how it just kind of developed naturally, you know. What? I know for a fact that if I even got the opportunity to work with the bigger artists when I was starting out, I wouldn't have been ready. You know, like, because obviously you need life experiences to talk about stuff, and, you know, to make songs that's my all my kind of content. You know, I don't really do commercial music. I do kind of more you know, storytelling and street stories, whatever they want to label it as, you know. But that's the kind of more music that I grew up listening to, and that's me as an artist. Now, I will do a few commercial songs if the opportunity comes up, and you know, jump on a house beat or something if it's going to be played in a club or something like that. Like, but only when it happens and I don't have to compromise anything, you know, that I believe in and stuff.
Do you like rap music to me?
Yeah, The Game.
I was going to ask you, was your top one or two rappers?
The Game, definitely 50 Cent. I liked Biggie and Tupac as well, but The Game was probably, I could see myself in him a little bit.
He was a gangster, man.
Back in the day, I used to be fucking driving around in the car.
Like, he was that album.
I used to be up there.
The documentary, remember that album? The documentary, that was one of the best. I actually got a voice message off him a couple of months ago on Instagram. So we were chatting for about doing something, but he might not develop.
He is the real lead, like.
He is, yeah.
He 100%. Orders a lot of them. He's
getting a lot of flack now.
He's 40s now, though, and he's still carrying on like a fucking 20 years of
mentality, like.
Yeah, but he never grew up, like.
Yeah. He knows absolutely.
He's been calling no fiends all over the shop.
Did you see call out Eminem recently, and people have turned against him, like.
Yeah, a lot of people calling out Eminem. I see Snoop giving him shit on YouTube as well, which was a bit disappointing because.
They're back buddies now again.
I know, but I'd say for
what did that stuff be over then? They're calling each other out, boy.
I think they're trying to jump on people's fucking.
They probably are, like.
Just,
I don't know.
Are they just trying to bring themselves back into the limelight?
If you're popular in this moment, and I'm a little bit irrelevant, I give you a lot of shit, so now the attention is on me. I'm trying to piggyback on the back of you. The Snoop one, probably not so much, because Snoop is probably more famous rapper of all time.
Yeah.
And,
I'd say Eminem probably would fuck it. I'd say Eminem.
I think
would
Snoop just.
Him.
Just as a name is more globally known.
Dope, he would be,
because from this, all the smoking.
But he'll go Martha Stewart and be cooking a one show, and then he'll be crip walking another one.
And
you
that's why he's the most famous. Well, listen, he transcends.
He made
that.
It like when you think of it, Snoop Dogg made it in a game that was their game. It was their music.
Yeah,
but like you have to give Eminem credit for what he done. Like
obviously,
this guy came in, he was like. He was like a crack in the wall.
Yeah.
He stood out.
And his background he came from as well. Like he came from poverty. Like
he got some shit.
Addiction, poverty, abuse, neglect, all that. But you know, just a talent and a drive by just to fucking get out of the guts of his family.
Exactly, yeah.
And he's good. He's probably the best. He was classified by a professor in Oxford University. I don't know who was it. Your man Jordan Patterson.
He
said he was the best poet. That he'd ever
lyricist.
Seen.
He probably is the best lyricist ever. Like,
ever.
See, there's different styles of hip hop. Like Snoop is more about the vibe, and if you're just not paying attention to the lyrics and stuff. But Eminem, you'd have to sit down and like, you know, really concentrate. Like his intricacy. Like even remember when he dissed Machine Gun Kelly there a couple of years ago. So the name of the song, like a lot of people would know unless they're involved in battle rap and stuff. But the name of the song was called Killshot, and I can't remember Machine Gun Kelly's real name now. But the Killshot was a movie, and the main character in the movie's name was the same as Machine Gun Kelly, which is why he named the song that. You know, it's all pure stuff you'd have to like sit down and actually think about three times.
But I used to love Eminem before, but I think Eminem in this day and age, he's after getting so good now and so technical that he's actually too good, and it's not as easy to listen to. Like he goes so fast, his words are impeccable, but when he wasn't that good, it was a little bit easier to listen to, and the beat wasn't so serious.
He's also has coming through life, isn't he? He's so
he's
mature. Age
man,
sure,
like, he's got a daughter now,
recovery too,
early 20s.
He's in recovery,
He's in recovery, and he's like, when you come into recovery, a lot of different things happen. You have to really, really look at your life.
Definitely,
and look at what behaviours don't roll with what the way you want to go anymore, so you have to look at them, and you're obviously going to go into your past as well and try to heal from some of that. And he had a tough life growing
definitely.
Up like being a father figure in the family with himself and his mother and his sister, and we all seen it on the film, the shit that went on in the family home. You know, that was tough going, you know.
But he had the rap, didn't he? He had that outlet that helped him survive, like.
Well, he was really going against the odds, like, cause, as you could say, he was pissing in the wind from a point of perspective as this white fella. There was the only other white rapper came before him, and that's why he hated him, was Vanilla Ice with Ice Ice Baby, bullshit, you know, radio play. And he was kind of like,
even rap though? Was it
just that commercial shit that you
It was commercial. Apparently, he didn't even write that song. There are still people to this day say that Vanilla Ice never. You know, I wouldn't be fucking listening to it. There's never a time in here that I'm sitting in the car and I'd be like prime Vanilla Ice there.
But who's your favourite rappers? Top three.
Top three. That I listen to or that are the best?
I think that you listen to.
It's after changing over the years. I think when you start off when you're about 13, 14, 15, the Dons in the game were like Biggie and Tupac.
Yeah, yeah.
And then because I am a wide range listener, I remember I had a big CD holder on that season, just you know, all different albums, Wu-Tang Clan, and one of my biggest, most listened to artists at the minute now is a guy that I done a song with last year, Slim 400 he's called. I don't know if you ever heard of a rapper called YG, but like he's one of the top now in the game in America currently. So Slim 400 would have been one of his artists. And last December he got murdered. So he was a member of the Bloods. And he was kind of up and coming. So he was kind of like one of YG's proteges, you could say. And he got murdered in December. I was meant to be going over just around the time of COVID hit and shooting the video over there. And he was like one of these rappers now, you know, that I actually looked up to. And I was like, I like his music, like, you know. And it was a big crush then when he got murdered. So what we're after doing now is when I'm going to LA next month is we're going to get all his people to represent for him and have like the neighborhood out, and they're going to be miming his verse when the audio is being played, you know. So then
that'd be class.
Yeah, so he was one of my favorites. Nipsey Hussle.
He got murdered too, didn't
he? Got murdered, yeah. There's this thing in hip-hop, like. But so I'm working with one of his artists as well when I go to LA, Pac-Man the Gunman. He's another one of his proteges. Nipsey Hussle, Slim 400, Tupac, Biggie, obviously. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
No, who I listened to a lot, and he's probably gone off the boil now, but Kanye West.
Yeah.
I love Kanye West, even though he's gone mad now, small, but like, and it's a little bit different. Like, but there was something about Kanye West.
He's very intelligent.
Yeah, but you know, some of the raps he rapped about, like, family and, you know. It wasn't like bitches and guns and gangs and stuff like that. It was a different genre.
And even his album was called as well. A College Dropout. That was stepping outside the border of hip-hop, you know, because in hip-hop, you can't be, you know, talking about college and all that kind of stuff. Where he was 100% authentic, and he was like, I don't care. I am a college dropout.
And he used to have sick fucking tunes, no music as well behind
I didn't realise until later down the years that he was actually a producer. Like.
I know.
At the age of 18.
Yeah.
From really 18? Young. Yeah. I watched his documentary.
It's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very
good. Was smart. A genius,
he was a really, really talented kid, you know, and when he got into rapping, that took off, but I suppose he went fucking pear shit then after a while.
His mum died.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Apparently, since his mother passed away, like, he was very close with her. Like.
And he had some mad controversy there in the last few months with fucking his
Kim
ex-wife.
Kardashian and all that kind of stuff.
That was
Trump.
No, I wouldn't be somebody that'd be, but I think I had the radio on one day and they were talking about the controversy between. And he was actually threatening to kill your man. His lyrics to his song. Like.
Who was playing sorry, who was going out with
him? That's the Norse coming up, you know.
He was some comedian, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, the fella with the guy. He's a creature.
Yeah. I can't remember his name.
Pete Davidson.
But should they broke up now?
Yeah, but Kanye West was saying he was going to kill him and everything. Like.
On his music, one of his songs, he was going to kill him. Like,
wasn't that actually the song with the game that he released?
Kanye West now wouldn't be a fucking Caddy Barry. Like. stuff. But you know what? Their characters are the same.
Yeah. But listen, that's their life. You know, that's their life. Like, that's their Knocknaheeny, Holly Hill, Churchfield.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they brought in. They're brought up in that. That's their culture and that's their environment. And like over there, it's nothing to hear a few shots every fucking hour.
When I was over in Campton, I was hearing gunshots and stuff like that. People were like, you're going to be wide over there. Like,
Thinking about mad things from fucking Grand Nathaniel, and you're over there then.
All those, they adapt to that environment because, and to them, it's nothing.
But that's what it is. It's, if something is normalised in your community, you don't think twice about it, you know what I mean?
I know, but even I moved into the country. I moved out the country there recently. Like, and when you take a step back from the area, then you begin to look at it objectively. Think, no matter there's a lot of
negativity.
You're
a product, your environment. At the end of the day, you know, if everyone's doing stuff around you, you need to stand back and kind of observe it from an outsider's perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you promoting anything at the moment? Anything coming up interesting?
The album. So I have an album on the way now. The Irish Connect, it's called. So this album is focused mainly on working with American producers and American rappers and stuff, and it's all just kind of happened naturally, like, you know. And then I have an EP in the works as well.
What's an EP?
So an EP is like 4 or 5 songs, and then an album would be like something from 12 to like no matter how many songs. Like, the game just released an album there with 30 songs on it, like, you know. But like what I try to do with my albums is I don't like to have filler on it, you know. Like
More quality, more over quantity.
Because I remember being in the studio once or twice and the producer saying like, you know, throw one or two other songs down. I was like, nah, I'm not feeling it. And I done one or two songs and listened back to it and I was like, So I have to kind of learn anew from that as well. You know, so the Irish Connect is going to be the album, and then 90s Baby is the working title for the EP, and that'll be kind of more homegrown then, and talking back to kind of like the stuff that I, my roots and stuff, you know, and where I am now, you know. I have a 4-year-old and, you know, things aren't...
What age are you?
30.
You're 30?
I'm 30 now, yeah.
You're mature.
21 with 9 years experience, I call it.
You're packing, you've packed a lot in.
Yeah.
Your life so far, you know. You've had a lot of accomplishments that... Do you know, up and coming rappers in Ireland would love to have, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
I'm still not where I want to be though.
Yeah, that's my next question. Like, in an ideal world, if you were a magic wand, what would you like? Would it be like fucking sell out the Opera House, or do a big gig in Cork, or do Madison?
Some kind of things that obviously always be there, but I don't know really where. I've never really put a lid on where I want to end up, you know, because as I say, it all just happens, you know, like from hanging around Paris with all the boys, and next thing then I'm over in Compton with Easy Son and all these, you know, hardcore fellas. Like, but I don't know.
I'm saying the fellas in family aren't hardcore. Because I'd agree with you.
Shout out to all the boys in Paris.
Yeah, Irish family fellas are sound.
Yeah, so give us a rap.
Yeah, you're going to spit a few bars, is this?
I'll do something. I haven't done this one in a while. This
Do you need any music background?
I'll do it a cappella, because sometimes I think this one I kind of needs a cappella. So this is a song off my last project called Double Perspective. My mam told me to be days like these some years passed by. Mates to the sea, some are bay from the sweet, some are raised by the streets. As families pacing ways with the cheese, hit haze from the trees, sit blazing these seas. Some young girls getting paid in their knees. You think that it's glorious, it's not, by friends. I can count on my left hand, I've got 5. Acquaintances, enemies, haters keep telling me, think I'm a wannabe. How the fuck hell are we getting respect and keep on penning these stories? Believe me, I'm destined to be. I'm resting these begrudges, not heading for you. Forces of jealousy, second is penalty. Scoring own goals in your team. Left net side, your own worst enemy. Witness fellas, balaclava's gun cock range. If the trigger didn't slip, he'd be on front page. Pain don't last, but you live with a stain. The sun don't mean as much without rain. Who the hell's overlooking us, pray? And how the fuck you overlook where we stay? For me, every shit pop is the ultimate way. So why the fuck do you prefer little Wayne?
Very good. Brilliant. Well done, boy. Sure. Well done.
Nice.
Yeah, and you sang it with passion. Just in this last hour.
I'd be learning
fast,
for about 12 months anyway to be talking.
Oh, I'd be dribbling all over myself after 4 months.
It all happens naturally though. Even there sometimes, you know, when I'm performing live on stage, they'll be like, how would you remember all the lyrics and stuff? And I'd know it's like you go into autopilot. So like I'd be performing a song and I'd be doing the verses or whatever that, and next thing I'd be thinking something else in my head about going on in real life, and next thing then I'd be like, oh yeah, here's coming back into the chorus now. And you know, if you looked at me now, you wouldn't be thinking there's nothing going on, like, but
It's just a skill, and it's like a muscle that you work on, and then muscle memory kicks in when you're...
That's one of the things that I'm kind of kicking myself about in a way, because I was very productive up until COVID, and then because the album was all American based, everything grounded to a halt as far as... You know, so it's kind of like I'm only kind of starting out to get back into it on a kind of a professional level again, you could say, you know. So that's why I'm trying to... You know, blow off the cobwebs and stuff now again after nearly 2 years of, you know, releasing stuff continuously. You need consistency. Like.
Is there a big, in Ireland, is there a big rap scene?
It's after getting a lot bigger than it was. Like, when I started doing it, it was kind of, you would go to a gig in, even in, say, Dublin, and there'd be just, same as, you know, Cork, there'd be a lot of fellas from the north even, they'd be in their tracksuits and they'd be going, excuse to go out and get drunk and stuff like that. Like, and then it developed into, like, not that I'd listen to now, but you know, like Versatile and stuff.
Like
selling out the Tree Arena. And although I mightn't gravitate to their music, you can still say at the end of the day, fucking hell, they're doing well for themselves, fair play. There's no harm in that either, like, because there's a lot of people who are saying, you know, if they don't like your style of music, or they see you selling out, or, you know, he's a fool or whatever like that, like, you know, don't hate on the next man's creativity, you know. Irish people are very begrudging in certain ways. Like, they want you to see you do well, but they don't want you to see you do better than them, you know.
I know.
You've a good approach to it.
Mature.
Yeah.
Try to be in it.
And just like you'll cheer everybody else on, and I suppose by doing that you're also helping yourself, you know, because that's just how it works.
You have to, you know, be working people, because at the end of the day, all right, you're a rapper, you can do things solo, but you have to work with a producer, you have to work with someone who mixes a master. You know, you have to have all these things. Like, if you bought an album tomorrow, and if say if you like the game, and you're listening to him, and you're thinking, oh yeah, the game is lethal, but what about all the other people that contributed to the album? You know, the features on it and all the production work. You know, there's an awful lot behind like an actual project.
Yeah.
Like,
well, if you're doing any music videos in Cork and you're looking for two handsome extras, you're
not about it. That'll be the next one. Yeah, Trigger featuring the two Naris. You might drop a verse from me.
I might actually. Listen.
Drop a 16 now, you know what one is.
Oh, for God's sake. But I tell you now, I'd love to do one of them workshops. I tell you, it'd be fun. And I know Gary was on to us there recently. He wants to do a... I might let the cat out of the bag. I'll ask him after, then if I just cut it up. Yeah. He's looking at doing rap and songwriting workshops for people in recovery.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah,
that would
because they'd have a lot of deep shit like that could come up,
Jesus,
you know?
Yeah, man.
But we could get on that, to me.
Yeah.
Two Naris featuring Trigger and GMC. Yeah.
But seriously, though, even like...
Produced by Sean.
Yeah. A lot of the fellas there that I would have grown up with, they would have, when they were younger, gone to Pats and prison and stuff like that, and they'd be telling me all these stories, and I turned to him and I'd be like, you should just write something, man. He was like, I'm not a rapper. And I was like, it doesn't matter. So I tell your story. Because with a lot of music, it's like autobiographical, and you know, there's a lot of anger in it at times. There's a lot of sorrow in it at times. Like, a lot of the way of me, even, I used to suffer with depression and stuff like that. Like, and a lot of my part of coming out was I'd put the pen to the page instead of doing other stupid shit, you know what I mean? But it's all a way of, you know, dealing with it in a productive way instead of, you know, in a negative way. Like,
you could go to a counsellor or a life coach and pay them €100 an hour and they'll tell you, journal, you know what I mean? Put your thoughts down on paper, but you're doing that naturally. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's a great coping skill.
100%.
Do you know if people wanted to contact you or follow you, where can they go? All the social medias, I suppose.
Social media is Instagram, Trigger Ireland Official. My YouTube channel is Trigger Rap Artist. Facebook, I don't really use the Facebook that much on the fan page, whatever you call it, but it's Trigger Irish Hip Hop. If you're on YouTube or any social media, it's all Trigger Ireland, and you can find me on everything, really.
Yeah, and we link all the stuff in the description of the video and the podcast, but it was great talking to you.
Appreciate it, and thanks for the opportunity. And keep doing what you're doing as well, because the whole north side and the whole of Cork is, I'll be showing all the boys over in Compton your stuff now.
Yeah, they're very welcome, and we might do an American tour if we can get a visa.
Why not?
Best of luck there, right there, James.
I know, we'd have to go through Mexico or something.
Yeah.
But listen,
nice,
but listen, congratulations on everything you've achieved. You're still only 30, by and you've the whole world at your feet. You're making great connections.
Hip-hop is a young man's game, though.
Is it? But you're making connections now, by and you know, tell that to Snoop and Jay-Z.
I will, when I see him.
I know,
I'll ring him there in a minute. No,
best of luck, and cheers. Thanks to everybody that watches and supports us. We see everybody next week.
Thanks, lads.
Peace out.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.